Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, we finished with question number 8. Listen now as we go on to question number 9.
And when the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Let me answer one other question here that came in very, very recently. And so I'm going to answer this question very quickly. And I have not even written the answer back. So folks, the question I'm answering right now, I'm just answering as I'm speaking here into the microphone. But I believe that it is one that would be a help to many, because I've had this come before me before by people, good people, that disagree. And it comes from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is what the Lord spake concerning, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, just got consumed by fire. The question that I've been asked, I was asked this by a missionary, I've been asked this by a pastor, I've been asked this by others. And so they'll say something like this. It says the fire, they offered strange fire. And I've heard preachers say the incense was the incense of Egypt, not the incense God had told them to offer. And yet this says strange fire. And so with that difference, how can you say that? And what is the answer to this? Was it a problem with the incense, or was it a problem with the fire? And so I've had that question come to me, and so I had to dig into that. And so when this question came up very, very recently, I let them know, because the person was in church here, and it wasn't a listener question, but it was in church that I was asked. So in essence, this is the answer I gave without writing them, okay? But I had researched this many times before, I had researched it before. There are two thoughts, and some good men, I mean good men, good academics and everything else, have had two different opinions. Some say the strange fires, they brought a fire from out of the camp and brought that in their censer, and then they poured actually the incense that God had told them to pour on it. But since they brought that fire from without the camp, that it was strange fire, and therefore God struck them dead. And the reason they say that is they were supposed to take embers from off the fire of the brazen altar where a lamb had been slain, animal slain there, the blood going down representing our sin and the burning of it, you know, and the consumption, what our sin deserved. Our sin deserved to send us to hell. And so the burning ember then is put there in this censer, and then they take the censer in the box and they put the very incense that God had said is very specific how he wanted it made. They put that in upon it, and they offer that at the altar of incense. And that's supposed to go up as a sweet savor to the Lord, representing the prayers of saints as they receive mercy from God. Now, that sounds very good. And that could be very well one of the interpretations there, and perhaps I know many stand with that. Others say, well, no, they did get the fire from the altar. they got the fire from the altar. In other words, they got it from one of those embers on the altar. It's not something they brought in from the outside because they were in the wilderness. They had to carry those things from across the wilderness. Wherever they were, they had to carry it. They may have had to carry it away because they had to go outside on the other side of the altar, of the raisin altar, go out the main place and go out there to wherever there was a fire and get some embers, put it in there and bring it back. So they don't believe that that was it. So one of the two ways, the idea was they get the embers and they put the incense upon it. And so the one says it was strange fire because they didn't get the embers from the, I guess because they just didn't get the embers from the brazen altar where the sacrifice was made. Others say, no, it was the incense. I have the tendency to believe that it was the incense. And here's the reason. It would have been something to carry that fire and those embers and stir them up that they would stay hot in that censer. Now, it could be done, so don't get me wrong. It could be done. But why would you take embers from other things there in the wilderness where they'd already had people died, killed, and put to death for taking the wrong things such as the golden calf and all that. You just have those things that happen there in the wilderness. So for them to go out and just do that, there's nothing special about, say, campfire wood, whether they were cooking on it or not. There's just nothing special about that. I could see them taking it off of the brazen altar, but then I could see these men, they've come from Egypt. Maybe they felt like, and in an honest way, felt, well, but you know what? This incense from Egypt smells so much better. And don't forget, the Egyptians had given them jewelry and all kinds of things for their trip. And, you know, they spoiled the Egyptians in that matter. Before they left, they gave them these things. And I could see that some of the incense was given because these Egyptians were thinking this will gain them favor. That God not do any more damage to them as Egyptians. And I could see Nadab and Abihu saying, you know what, this would be better, be more acceptable unto God. It just gives a better odor. That's not what God said to do. And just like Moses struck the rock later in there when he was told just to speak to it and he could not enter the promised land, these two got struck down by fire by putting the wrong kind of incense on it. And that's what I believe. They put the wrong kind of incense on in there and took the embers off. Put it in there, and then when they went to offer it, God sent fire, and they were devoured. It said the fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, I don't know if that means they were cremated, okay, but if it was a cremation, it happened pretty quickly. And they were dead right there on the spot. Now, I'm saying that to say that the strange fire in a holy place, God doesn't want his house to have the incense, the smell of the world, should I say. He wants it to have the holiness of God. It must be God's will, God's way, and in God's timing. It must be how God wants it. It must be honoring to him. It must have the dignity and reverence that God deserves, not what appeals to our sensual flesh. And that worship, Nadab and Abihu was offering that which appealed to their sensual flesh. Now, and that was the contemporary of their day. That was the emerging of their day. That is wrong. Now, again, I believe personally that it was the wrong kind of incense. But it is possible they put the right kind of incense and brought in the fire from the other thing. I'm not going to make that an issue of argument because, however it was not exactly the way God wanted it. And a holy God doesn't want holy worship to be corrupted with anything of the world and the flesh. And so, for those that are listening, this is not a question of separation. Well, if you don't believe like I do, you and I are going to separate. No, that's not a question of separation at all. But it is something to learn from. That in both cases, whether you believe that the fire was brought from without the camp, or you believe like I do, that the fire was ember was taken right off the brazen altar but the incense was wrong. However you believe, just realize they corrupted the worship of God, and that was very evil. They did what appealed to their flesh and not what honored God in obedience, just like Moses struck the rock when he should have spoke to it, but he was angry at the sin of the people, and his inner emotional angry self got control over a Holy Spirit within him, and he was unable to enter the promised land as a result of God's punishment on him. So I just entered that as a little bit different question, because that question has been asked me a few times, and it's not in a matter of debate. It's not been a matter. It's been really more in a matter of, I want to know the truth on this. And so we've tried to answer that for people, and I hope that answers some questions there for you. Now, as I look at it, we don't have many more questions here, so let's get on with the next question. This one says, Dear Dr. Bloom, there are no verse-by-verse examples of preaching verse-by-verse before the 1600s. Why do you insist on preaching verse-by-verse? Is there an example of Jesus or anyone else in the Bible preaching that way? I also don't see anywhere that Jesus preached against homosexuality. Well, this is from another Calvinist who writes me weekly to let me know how ignorant I am and rebukes me for teaching verse by verse. And so this is a constant from him and been doing it for years. When he's really peeved, now he's not peeved as much in this one because he doesn't say, "Oh, Andy," because sometimes he says, "O-L-E, Andy." Okay, so. He calls me a stupid, this and that. So that's fine. Normally, I don't like to take letters like that or answer letters like that, not dignify them with an answer. But since he's said this many times, and I also like to reveal that Calvinists, although they seem like they believe that they are very intellectual and how much better they are and so forth, I want you to see the real Calvinists as they are, and this is a good example of one of them. Now, not all of them are this way, so let me be quick to point that out. So I answered him this way. This is really hard for some people to understand. Men added verse and chapter numbers along with book titles. In the 1500s, before the King James, there were some actual verse numbering. We also know that in time past, that every line in a book was numbered.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
His truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.